fucking spot.
This Three Beards Media podcast may contain mature themes, and if you're not down with that, we got three words for you. Like the podcast. Nailed it!
Hey everybody, good evening. We are back with another episode of False Starts with Bill Blank and Chris Shipley. We're up to episode 19. I can't believe we haven't been kicked off here for this yet.
Bill, 19? Really?
19 episodes, man. We are
Dude,
rolling.
This might be my longest running podcast. No, I don't think it is. The Blank and Bush show did quite a few, but I don't know. This one, it's the longest one since then.
It's pretty damn consistent. So,
yeah.
Well, it's been a pretty good couple weeks. Great week for you. Nice win by the Hawkeyes. Big Ten West champs.
We're not going to apologize.
Nope. Iowa State's going to a bowl game. I told everybody this weekend, I said, if somebody would have came to me at the beginning and said you had five guys suspended from gambling and you were going to go to a bowl game, I'd sign up for that in a fucking heartbeat. So
yeah,
it's all cake from here. To it? Depending on where it's at and when it is. Yeah. If it's in Memphis, I'll probably try to go. If it's in Phoenix, that's the day after Christmas. That'll be pretty rough to try to get.
I wouldn't mind figuring out a way to go to either the Big Ten championship game or the bowl game. Like, I'd like to go to the Big Ten championship game. I think it'd be something to experience. But also, like, this team deserves us to do that. Like, I'm really fond of this Iowa team, the way they've won. Everybody makes fun of their offense and shit. And it's like, dude, you mad, bro? Sorry. Like, how many teams have we beat that are just pissed? Like, their fan base is just pissed. Like, they can't even muster up 100 yards of offense and they're beating it, you know? I love it.
The narrative that I don't care for as a Cyclone fan is the narrative when they go, well, if we were playing Iowa now, we'd win. Okay, well, that's not how the schedule works.
Right.
So, and
number one.
And, right. And I do think the Big Ten West is not a great conference.
No.
But as somebody pointed out on Twitter, the one team we played in the Big Ten West, we lost to. So we really don't have any room to fucking talk.
Right.
So.
Well, also regarding that, like, so what are you supposed to do? Not win it?
Right,
like if it's so bad and you
play
fucking
to
don't win
the
it,
game.
Yeah. If it's if the conference is that if the Big Ten West is that bad, then you better win it. How bad are you if you don't win it?
Well, the rest of the teams are sub 500, I think.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So how bad are you if you don't win
right.
it? You better fucking win it.
And this whole narrative that all the Hawkeye fans are falling in love with Matt Rhule because he said nice things about Kirk Ferentz. I fucking hate Matt Rhule. So
this yeah, that's
one,
a
this will be the one time that I root for Iowa because I want them to bury those sons of bitches.
You're sitting there watching him, and like I've seen two different times where he talked about Iowa and the Ferentzes and stuff, and I was like, yeah. God damn it, don't make me like you, dude. Yeah,
well, trust me, there's no fear of me doing that. So, we got a guest tonight. We'll get to him real quick here, but I want to touch on something, Bill. We talked about, You've talked about a couple times about how you want to live your life for fun and you want to embrace those fun times or whatever. And Saturday was one of the best days I've had. It was the last Saturday we were going to be able to tailgate, the last Saturday that I had at Jack Trice Stadium.
For the year.
We got set up on time. It was a perfect day. I can't tell you how many people stopped by the tailgate that knew me, whether it was from Twitter or regular friends or whatever. We had a stream of people in and out. Sean stopped by and saw me. It just kind of was like one of those days where I was like, this is what Bill was talking about.
Yeah.
Like I embraced the fun. I had no expectations. It was a wonderful day. I loved it. It was phenomenal.
Well, and how great is it? We got through a whole football season without a super cold game.
No like, shit.
I was thinking about that, like the week before the Rutgers game was the coldest game of the year.
Yeah.
And last week was warmer than that. Like last week was like the most perfect day of fall. Yeah. last week was the quintessential fall Saturday that everyone talks about. What is the perfect temperature?
Yep.
Nobody's freezing cold. It was a little nippy if you're an early one, if you tailgate early. Yep. But like not a cloud in the sky, so the sun was out, there was no wind, like everything was,
yeah,
it couldn't have been more of a perfect day. And
well, God knows we've had plenty of canceled grass lots at Iowa State that this year we made up for it, so
yeah. And so I guess that's another thing, I don't have much of a concept of that, like Iowa City, it's kind of like state fair parking almost.
Yeah.
And and that's a whole nother vibe, which I love.
Right.
But
I'm going to try to make a game there. I think I'm going to try to make the Iowa State game there next year.
Nice.
I was supposed to go last year, and our buddy Icy Hawkeye had got me tickets. And then the night before, something happened. Stacy was sick. Caitlin couldn't go. I didn't have anybody to go with. So I ended up selling my tickets to my nephew. But I plan on going next year. So, all right.
Nice.
Let's get to the topic at hand. A couple weeks ago, I reached out to this guest. I think he's got a really cool story. I've kind of, and you too, Bill, I've kind of watched him grow into something pretty special, I think, here in Des Moines. He's a really good friend of ours, and he was kind enough to come on the podcast even after doing 3 hours of radio already today. So we want to welcome Sean Roberts to the podcast. Sean, thank you so much for hopping on Fall Starts with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. Happy to be on.
Yeah, dude, come on. Scott. Like after doing what's 3 hours really? Of radio, what's like he doesn't really? Fucking live for it. Like
right,
he doesn't live for it. Stop it.
That's what I love about that though. Knowing Sean and listening to him from his beginning at the Morning Rush and then the Saturday morning pregame and then the Shantaraj show. The kid, God, I'm so fucking old.
I'm 34.
I know, right? I know. I got you by 19
years. Oh, wow.
Years. I didn't call you a kid. I got you by 19 years, so shut up.
Man. you were in your early 20s when I met you.
Dude, Bill, you've known me since I was probably 20. I had probably just turned 24.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've known me for like 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that until you just said that. That's nuts. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris.
No, that's all right. This is what we're doing here. So, but I just wanted to say we've kind of watched him kind of grow into this, you know.
Brand. He's a brand.
Yeah, a brand. And I'll tell you this. I would say probably a spokesman for Des Moines. A kid from Chicago who admittedly has said, this was a temporary place. I was not planning on sticking around here. And I don't know that you could find anybody that was more Des Moines than Sean Roberts right now.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, Chris. Like when I was going to Grandview and playing baseball and I was like, okay, I'm going to get my degree. And then I'm booking it back to the suburbs of Chicago, all my buddies that went to Iowa and, you know, cause that's where everyone from the suburbs of Chicago goes to school. They all go, they don't stay in state. They go to Iowa or Iowa State. And I was like, okay, I'm going to graduate. We're all going to move downtown Chicago for a couple years and live in an apartment. And that was the plan. And, life didn't work out that way. Obviously for the best for me, I graduated at the end of summer in 2012 and I had like a month left in my internship at the radio station, but I had to move out of my apartment at Grandview. So it was kind of one of those things. Okay, well, let's go sign a year lease in an apartment in West Des Moines and, you know, we'll regroup in a year and see where I'm at. And so, yeah. And I've been here ever since, but I always had the want to be doing what I'm able to do now. And I'm very happy and lucky to be able to do what I do now, but yeah, it's kind of weird, right? Like the more I think about it, and I thought about it last year when I got the job, and Des Moines has kind of been able to watch me grow up. And it's kind of cool when you think about it, right? Like I was a kid from the suburbs of Chicago that kind of just found myself here and started working in the business that I always wanted to work in and had to do a lot of other different things to make it work at the same time. And all of a sudden I'm 34 years old and Bill's going, holy shit. I've known him for 10 years. Yeah. And it is crazy to think about, but like, Des Moines been able to, in the state of Iowa, in a sense, for the people that have paid attention to it, have been able to watch me grow through this 10, 11 year period.
Well, it makes them feel like they have some kind of ownership too, you know? When people watch, like I can remember back in the day when Heather was doing KGGO, and this would have been like 2004, so you know, 20 years ago basically, and I had done this reality show, and I was in the studio like talking about it, and it, like the first episode had aired, and so I was on the next day. Heather said on the air, she, that was one of the things she said, was like, it was like, oh, our little Billy's grown up. And Heather was probably 34 or something at the time. Like she, you know, she wasn't that much older than me, but yeah, it's just weird. People do, you know, yeah. The thing is, Des Moines, a weird city like that, when you're in any type of entertainment, you know, radio, anything like that, because they don't take you seriously at first. They kind of have a little bit of that, like if you were worth a shit, you wouldn't be here attitude. Like, look, come on, you're just in Des Moines, dude. Chill. You're just in Des Moines.
Like, chill the hell out.
Yeah, like let's not act like you're a big deal. You're in Des Moines. So like you have to overcome that, which really you only do by not quitting. You just stick around.
Right.
And then eventually you get endeared to the people that you're endeared to. And you're never going to go without haters. When you put yourself out there, you're never going to go without haters, but
100%
you get a lot more love as time goes on.
Yeah. You're not wrong, man. Like I know when I first started, you know, and I started with Travis and Ross for, you know, the first couple months of my radio career, and then Heather came in, and yeah, I mean, man, looking back at it, it's crazy, but I didn't know if people were going to like me. I didn't know if people were going to respect me. And I kind of just had the mindset of, well, no matter what, I'm just going to always be me. And you know, it's gotten me this far in my life, and it'll continue to get me to wherever I'm supposed to be in this life. And so I will just always be me. I'll be genuine. I'll try and be the nicest person that I can be and be a good human being. But if I have to, you know, make some smart ass comments every now and then, it's just, I'm always going to be real. And you know, here I am 10 years later, and I'm able to do the thing I love. And that's been a huge part of it.
Well, I think that's what endears you a lot. Is that you are honest and you are real and you're open about things, which is part of the reason why we know part of your story and what we'll get into later. But you had, I think, a unique opportunity with Travis and Ross, and then with Heather, that you weren't just the guy sitting in the booth pushing the buttons. They included you into the conversation, which doesn't happen a lot, I don't think, in this industry.
No, it doesn't. And you know, what's funny about that is when I first started with Travis and Ross, you know, Ross is great, obviously. Like Ross, you know, is telling me, because I'd never met, you gotta remember, like Trav doing the show in Omaha, I'd never met him. I started producing a show and I never met him. This was before we had cameras and we were able to see each other on Zoom calls or whatever the case was. So literally Travis is just a voice in my head, pretty much. And so I kind of looked at it as, this was my opportunity, and I'm just going to turn on the microphone and just kind of throw myself into it. And if it works, it works. And it worked. And Travis and Ross included me in that. And then when Heather came on, it was kind of, I've already at that point established myself as being somewhat part of the show. And you're right, Chris, it's not normal, right? But one of the things that I look at, especially nowadays, is whatever I'm doing, whether it was the Saturday morning pregame or now the drive, whoever's in that producer studio, in my opinion, should be just as much a part of the show, because that's how you get opportunities and that's how you get used to talking on the air. And that's how I got my opportunities. So for me, I look at that position as, man, this is your chance. This is how you kind of grow yourself as being on the air. And then there's other things like when you host your first show and getting used to that stuff. But yeah, like it is unique and it doesn't happen. I listen to, you know, Chicago sports radio, and you wouldn't even know who the hell the producer was because right. they're not involved in the conversation. And again, it's kind of what makes Des Moines unique. Like, we do unique things and it works.
Well, and Travis has said it 100 times, and I kind of related to a story my dad used to say, but Travis would say, whatever you learned at Grandview about radio, now you can forget that because we're going to do it the right way. And my dad, I remember when I went to college, my dad,
a lot of truth to that.
My dad said, you go to college, you learn how to run a business, and when you come back, I'll show you how to make money.
Yeah.
So, but you know, like Trav was right about that though. Like, I went through and you know, I was, you know, at Grandview at the time, we had 88.1 The Edge, which was, it was KDPS, I believe. And you know, you get graded on how, you know, you do a 2-hour show once a week, you play music for 10 minutes, and then you get a 3-minute segment. And me and my buddy Jose, we were the Sean and Jose 2-hour bonanza mashup. Like, that's we're jackasses, and that's what we called ourselves. But we would get 3 minutes to talk, right? So you get used to bringing in,
yeah,
you know, you're listening to 88.1 The Edge, and you're trained to go into full radio mode, right? Like we call it puking, right? Like, mm-hmm. Hey, it's 88.1 The Edge, and it sounds like a douchebag, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I got A's on that by doing that, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. that was what we were taught,
right? Yep.
So then when I start with Travis and Ross, and it's like you kind of go into that mindset of, okay.
Oh, dude, they didn't let you do that for 2 seconds.
No, but you know what I mean? Like,
did you try that in front of them?
No, I didn't. God, I did it. I did it. Oh, God. No,
that would have been
no.
the best story I could have ever fucking heard.
No.
Damn it. I wish you would have.
But to Trav's point, he's right though. Like, everything yeah. you like learn, you just you toss yeah. it, man, and you just be you and have normal conversations. And yeah, you can amp stuff up every once in a while. And I do that. I get excited about a bunch of shit that I, you know, might not be exciting for some people, but I get excited about that stuff. But yeah, it's what you learn in college sometimes doesn't translate to the job that you do.
Right. Jason, well, and Drew, valuable. We'll get to your comments here in a little bit, but go ahead, Bill.
It's valuable on some level, for sure. I mean, there's things that you did have to learn. Like,
I learned how to do Adobe Audition.
Yeah, and mostly probably how to, well, and how to operate a board and how to edit.
Yeah.
And how to,
yeah.
You know, there's something to be said for all that. And it doesn't mean, I mean, I taught myself how to do it by doing podcasts, a lot of stuff, but I spent, you know, I suppose if I think about it, I spent like 6 or 7 hours in one night teaching myself how to make a theme song. And once I did that, I was pretty much golden. So yeah, that does seem like a waste of money in retrospect.
You know, what's funny, Chris, that one of my favorite things that I always get to tell people, and I did this, I told this story when I got to MC Bill's event for North High School Baseball.
Yeah.
But one of the things, so when I was at Grandview, at the Funny Bone, they would do student ticket night. So it was like $1 tickets to go to the Funny Bone.
Sure.
And Bill, though, I'll never forget one of the nights we go, and Bill was the second guy, and you come out and I was in tears crying. Like, I thought I had found the funniest dude that I've ever heard in my life. And like, and Chris, you know this, like, Bill is unique. Like, you know that voice, you know the face.
Yep.
You know, kind of what we were talking about the pictures earlier. Like, you know. So fast forward 2-3 years later, doing the morning rush with Trav and Ross, and Bill comes in. And you would have thought it was freaking like, the biggest celebrity in the world. I go to Ross. I go, holy shit, man, that's Bill Blank. I was like, I got to meet this guy. Like, this guy's the man. I'm like, this is what radio is going to be. I get to meet people like Bill. It's like now, like, Bill's my dude, man. Now, like, I'm texting him photos of himself when he's on TV.
And now I'm like, hey, Sean, you need somebody on your show for like,
right? We're waiting. Sean, I'll tell you this. When
it's all smoke and mirrors. That's what's funny. Like, you're seeing this. You're experiencing this a lot more now that you've been doing this long enough, Sean, where people do treat you like things are a much bigger deal than they are. Now that the fourth wall is dropped for you, like, yeah. I mean, you have to see that a lot. Like, I hear a story like that, and like, I think about where I was back then and how barely I was doing anything. I mean, I was barely making it by the skin of my teeth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just weird to hear stories like that. Like people had you on some type of pedestal or something when, you know, you weren't shit at the time.
You know, I thought Bill was the funniest dude in the world. Man. I was like, listen, Netflix special. Here we go.
That happened Saturday when I kept telling Stacy, I was like, well, I gotta go meet Sean. And she's like, who? And I was like, Sean Roberts. He's on the radio. He's a friend of mine. I'm dropping, you know, Sean's my friend, you know?
Well, you are, Chris, you are. And I was happy I got to see you outside the stadium, man. That was awesome.
Have you been to Iowa City for a game yet?
No. So my plan, Bill, moving forward, because trust me, I had enough Hawkeye fans over here. You know, oh, look at you, can't come to Iowa City. And now, and you talked about haters. All of a sudden, I was the worst human being in the world because I decided to go to a game of names. Well, who
did you get hooked up? Like, Heather probably gave you did you sit with Heather and Paul?
No, I actually didn't. No, I sat with our sales rep, Scott. We got the station tickets, and so it was
thing, you know, that, I mean, that's kind of why you went, though.
I've never experienced it either. Like, it was my first time doing
right.
it. And so
you should be able to talk about it.
Yeah. My plan moving forward, because I also doing sound off for 6 years, I never had weekends.
Yeah.
Right. Like I never had a Saturday to go do stuff or to sit and watch football all day. Right. So my plan moving forward now is once a year to go to a game in Iowa City and a game in Ames. I do an Iowa game and an Iowa State game. And then if I can somehow, some way sneak in a trip to South Bend to go see my Irish, that's good.
That'll lead into Jason's question. Jason wants to know who's a more diehard fan, Bill with the Hawkeyes, Sean with the Irish, or Chris with the Cyclones. Well, I can tell you right now, I'm third on that list. And I'll tell you why. Because, as Bill will say, he doesn't give two shits about Iowa State outside of when they play him for 3 hours on a Saturday. Otherwise, he couldn't name one guy on that team. It's not even on his fucking radar. I, on the other hand, know that. And I know for a fact, Sean, I've never drank whiskey specific for the Iowa State Cyclones. Like, you drink Jameson, you're all about it. You're lighting the candle. You probably got a replica of the
Virgin Mary.
Like a champion. You know, you got a touchdown Jesus.
Oh, there is definitely Play Like a Champion today somewhere in your apartment.
I have a poster.
Yeah.
My, you know, it's funny you bring that up. My dad was sending me stuff today. Notre Dame came out with a wine list because, you know, it's an elite school. It's got Play Like a Champion today wine. It's got like a Golden Dome type wine. I'm like, Dad, why are you sending me this? I'm not going to spend $200 on a wine bottle. It's not happening
yet.
But I to answer the question, I've never probably liked mother effed people like directly to their face like Bill has at an Iowa game.
This is true.
This is also why I watch in my apartment, because it's probably best for everybody involved, especially if I'm doing my challenge where it's a beer and a glass of Jameson per quarter. By the fourth quarter, things are getting really weird, and I'm yelling at 18-year-olds on my television. But I would probably put it's Bill. Bill's one.
I mean, I Bill's got 17 photos to prove it.
The fact that he's walking around calling himself the mayor of the North End.
I didn't call myself that. No,
I believe you did.
I didn't know.
I don't know, but Bill, the people next to me said that.
The people next to me said that about me.
I'm making that t-shirt.
That was not me. I swear to God, I am not walking around. I'm making that t-shirt for me.
I know I'm up there. I know I'm up there, but I would vote Bill one. Bill gets my vote.
I am one of those people when it comes to my fandom and the way I am at games, during games, like even if it's TV, it doesn't matter if I'm in the stadium or if it's on TV, I'm the same exact way. It's just safer when it's on TV. But like,
it's safer for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Especially the security guards.
I've never been arrested. I've never been kicked out. It's a miracle. It's definitely a miracle. But I think, like, this is kind of my personality in general, I guess, maybe socially, kind of growing up and stuff. I'm a love or hate guy. Like, if you ask somebody about me, if my name comes up in a conversation, people are either going to say that I'm the coolest, fucking greatest, they love me, blah, 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 or they're going to say I'm a piece of dog shit. There's not going to be indifference there. You know what I'm saying? So in some ways, I'm like, if let's say one of those guys that's playing in the Iowa game, one of those players, let's say he were my kid and it was 12U baseball and I was acting the way I'm acting in the stadium, then you could say I was a piece of shit. But when it's big time college football, national television, like millions of bazillions of dollars are going through all of this, you can fuck off. Like, I'm not a piece of shit for, you know, wearing my heart on my sleeve, I guess, so to speak. And everybody in the world knows I hate referees just as a species because they're not good humans. So like, everybody knows that about me. So I yell horrible things at the referees, but I never say anything to the players that's not positive. I never boo my own team. I never yell bad things. I did get pissed off at Brian Ferentz for calling a shotgun play inside the five a couple weeks ago. That pissed me off. And so I told him that's why he got fired. I was a little bit, that was stupid. But like, you know, but in general, like, I will miss Brian and I love him, but I'm just saying, like, I can be that guy that people are going to tell me I'm like being trash. Like, I'm white trash piece of shit. Like,
who would love that guy?
This is a good example.
That's the mayor of the North End Zone.
This is a happy, this is a bunch of happy people, me included. I'm very happy right here. Extremely happy.
This might be my favorite photo ever. Like, you look like you have a vein popping up.
What about the one Channel 8 had? Did you see that one?
No.
Like, there was like a couple weeks ago, that was a still shot of our reaction to Cooper DeGene running back the punt against Minnesota we knew it wasn't going to be, you know, before they took it away.
Yeah.
And like, I'm up on the ledge, like, I look like, I don't know. I mean, watch, it's like watching a basketball game when your teammates, a guy dunks on somebody and their teammates are celebrating.
Yep.
You know, like, you see the looks on their faces. They're not smiling. Like, they're looking like they're going to fight and they're shoving each other and shit.
Right.
They, like, they're pumped up. That's them being happy and pumped up. But on the outside looking in, people could be like, they're about, if like people didn't know that's what was happening, they think they're about to fight. And that's like what I look like.
So,
I don't know how to change it.
No, I mean,
I'm not going to fight, but I look like I'm going to fight.
Right.
Yeah.
which means Bill wins. He's the most crazed fan. He's the most passionate fan, I will say. I mean, I won't I won't say that I haven't.
Congrats. I'm the biggest. Why don't you just say what it is? I'm the bigger idiot of the three. I'm the biggest idiot.
I would give anything.
I'm by far the most pathetic.
No bullshit. I would give anything to be able to act like that in the front of the end zone like that. I used the F word 4 times in the fourth quarter in the Kansas game, and my wife turned around and goes, "You need to knock it off." So I'm not allowed to act like that. So
yeah. And see, I'd be like, well, fuck you too.
Yeah, well,
I'm just kidding.
I would just assume be able to sleep in my own room. So
no. Find your own way home there, Chris.
That's right. Find my own way home.
And see, that's why my girlfriend's perfect for me, because she just grins and goes, "He's all mine. He's all mine."
Yeah. She embraces you.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to.
My wife embraces me, and I like had an emotional crying experience when Sam Hartman led Notre Dame to beat Duke. I was like tearing up. I was like, "It's my quarterback." she's like, "Sometimes I don't know if you love me more or Sam Hartman."
Maybe I don't win because nothing. I tear up a little bit every time I do the wave. But like,
oh, I could see that.
If that's an emotional experience.
If we just drove on the last minute to beat Duke, I'm not going to be in tears.
I had a lot of cocktails.
He was probably lubricated a little bit.
You drink a beer and a shot per quarter.
Not shot. No, that's glass.
Oh, I got you. So a beer and a glass per quarter. Okay. Well, we're going to,
tears are flowing. I'm surprised you waited till the fourth quarter.
Well, see, now since I got the beatus, I can't drink like that. I just drink low carb beers all the time. So like, I won't drink at all during the week or whatever. And football games, I'll drink beer like Mick Ultra, but I bet I drink 30 of those fucking things by the time the day is over.
Start flowing, you're in trouble.
Oh, dude, I spend $100 in the stadium. I can buy two beers at a time.
Oh, what's that like to buy beer in a stadium? Let's not go down that.
Are you shitting me? They don't sell beer in Ames.
Now you're trolling me. You don't know that?
No, I didn't know that. I swear to God, I don't know shit. I told you, I don't know shit
only,
about
only
you guys.
In the suites and the Sukupa End Zone Club. Trust me, it's a point of contention with Cyclone fans. And Jamie Pollard is hard fast. He will not do it.
Really?
Yes. He will not do it.
Oh.
He will not do it. It's a hard fast rule.
What the fuck is wrong with him?
I used to really like him.
I used to think he's a great AD and all this, but not selling the revenue you are missing out on.
Yes.
Just in that. How can you possibly be a respectable
well, and not only that,
athletic director?
Not only that, but you're not selling your NIL beer that then turns around and helps fund athletes.
Right. I don't think they sell the Swarm beer in Iowa.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. In Kinnick, they do.
Oh, well, not everywhere. Because I think
you
maybe
can only find Mick Ultras.
Well, no, they don't even. I don't even think there's Mick Ultras. In the stadium, I usually. They have High Noons though, so I'll drink like High Noons and the Busch Light or Coors Light, the random one. You know, that's not gonna kill me, but
sure.
I haven't seen, and plus I don't like it. I buy it to give them money, but I don't really like it that much. I don't like IPAs.
Let's take a break. Let's get a word from Revelton, and then when we come back, I want to kind of dive in on why we brought Sean on. Talk about a little bit of his, you know, maturity and things like that, is physical and mental health and things like that. So we're gonna get a word from Revelton Distilling Company. Of course, I'm not cognizant. I should announce that we are now sponsored. Our studio sponsor is now Gravitate Co-working. Gravitate Co-working is a shared space where you can go and get out of your home office if you have a work function that you need to have a conference room for. They have four different locations in Iowa. It's a really nice concept. Jeff and his staff will take care of you. So we're super pumped that Gravitate Co-working is now sponsoring our studio. And of course, we're going to get a word from Revelton here, and then we'll come back with Sean Roberts.
At Revelton Distilling Company, everyone has become a part of the Revelton family. From the Taylors and their daughter who helped perfect their award-winning gins, to the team who installed Lucy, our 33-foot-tall custom-made still, right down to the local farms that provide our coveted corn, and even the cows on those farms who consume our mash byproduct. Want to see the farm to flask come to life? Now you can tour Lucy and find out where we take Iowa's harvest and transform it into our finest spirits. Choose between a 45-minute tour or find out even more by scheduling a VIP behind-the-scenes tour to get the taste of the full Revelton experience. You can visit them at 1400 West Clay Street in Osceola, Iowa, or find all of Revelton's award-winning spirits at any local grocery or spirits retailer.
All right, and we're back. I want to talk a little bit real quick about our event that we're having at Revelton Distilling Company. We are going to have a fundraiser and live podcast broadcast of all of our podcasts through the Three Beards Media family. We are raising money for the Young Women's Resource Center. We have some raffle prizes to go on. You'll be able to come down, have some drinks, meet some of the crews from the different podcasts. It's from 12 to 2 on December 9th at Revelton Distilling Company. We hope we can really pack the house for those guys. So it'll be a fun time, and hopefully we can raise a lot of money for the Young Women's Resource Center. So, Sean, the last time that we were actually at Revelton, I'll start this conversation with this. We've talked about how you give Lucas a platform on the drive. Somebody gave you a chance. You were kind enough to come down to Tim and I's very first event that we had down there at Revelton. And, you and Kaylee came down, had some drinks. I think you broke your sober streak for us. That was nice.
Yes, but, yes, we did.
I don't know that I've ever told you this, but you might be the inspiration for what we got going on here at Three Beards Media, because when we sat down and talked about that, I told you that what I would have loved to be able to do is to just do a call-in show for the Iowa State Cyclones. And your response to me was, Chris, you don't need a radio station to do that. You have the platform to do it on your own. And that kind of sparked an idea of what Side of the Storm became. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of rolled from there. So I haven't ever told you that. It was a little nugget that you placed in us, but I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciated that.
Oh, not a problem, man. Like I tell everybody, like when someone comes to me with like, hey, you know, I'd really like to get into this business, or I would like to do something along those lines, or do a podcast, just do it. That's my advice. Just do it. And I know sometimes that's easier said than done, but man, if all it takes is figuring out how to get a microphone and figuring out how to record yourself, and in today's day and age, just do it. Just do it. And you never know what it can turn into. You never know if it's, I think sometimes if you go in with the thought process of, man, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make money because that's what everyone does, then to me, you're starting off with the wrong reasons. I think if you go into this going, hey, you know what, like if we make money, great. But at the end of the day, like if I'm able to have an hour and a half once a week or twice a week, whatever the case is, to sit and bullshit with my buddies, either about a certain topic, a specified topic, whatever the case is, like, man, that is much more, that's so gratifying to have, man. And it's important to have. And then if you can somehow make money on top of it, that's icing on the cake. You know, I mean, I think so many people go into it where they're like, man, all right, we got this idea, we're going to make a shit ton of money and this is going to be awesome. And then you do it a couple months, money's not coming in, and you're like, okay, well, where's the passion for it? What are we doing this for? And right. You see so right. many of these things die out, right? Like you see yep. so many of them die out because after that first initial,
they don't catch on.
Yeah. And then you go,
or you
okay.
get bored, or you don't have right. topics or whatever else, which when Bill came to me and brought the idea for this podcast, I wasn't entirely sure how much material we would have, but we found that this topic is really, really important. And it's so important that Bill and I discovered today. I got a DM on my Twitter today from a guy that doesn't follow me on Twitter. He follows other people that follow me, so he must have seen some things. He said, hey, wanted to let you know I came across False Starts. And it's so important to be able to talk about this. And I'm so glad that I found it and I'm catching up on episodes. And thank you for doing the podcast. And I sent it to Bill and I was like, listen, one person is getting something out of this, then we need to keep going. Mm.
That's the point. I mean, we've, my goal, I say it every episode, is have a good time talking about tough things. Like I want men to be able to be open about their mental health. I mean, us the male portion of the species has struggled with that since the beginning of time, and we're getting better. I mean, I know for a fact there's other, I know a couple other comics that are doing some things somewhat similar to what we're doing now. And a lot of people are getting, you know, they're coming around. But that's why I wanted it as a passion project for me, because I went through so much anxiety and anxiety attacks, and went through all those different periods growing up, and still to this day, you know, I deal with it. And, you know, that, I mean, that's why this is here, but I also like to have a sense of humor about it. And so I wanted a platform where people aren't going to get mad at me for, you know, poking fun. Like I was talking about one, I remember one episode I was talking about eating disorders being a rich white girl disease, and like kind of making fun of it, you know. It's, you know, and it's like, I mean, and I don't do it to like disparage anybody. I know how dangerous it is, like dangerous it is, and I'm not disparaging things, but like I just want it to be mine so that we're free to be able to have a laugh while we're talking about some really serious fucked up shit.
Yeah. doing stuff like this is important. Mm-hmm. And it's become something that's really important to me over the last 4 or 5 years of my life. And so, you know, doing what you guys are doing is an incredible thing. And as you guys are finding out, if you can just touch one person, right? If you can get to one person, mm-hmm. and it makes it all worth it, right? It makes it all worth it. If one person reaches out to you guys and goes, I listen because of this and it's helping me, then mission accomplished, right?
I know that sounds cliche, but it really is true. And not only,
well, with this topic, it is, with this subject, right. It is, you know, yes. If this was just another podcast with us fucking around, like just being dudes hanging out and turning on a microphone, you know, then it's like, it's just a vanity project then. And right. This right here, it is about basically a show like that. If we reach one person with a show like that, it means we suck. Like, if we reach one person with a show like this, we made a difference in somebody's life. It's a completely different animal.
Well, and not only, I've been pretty open in the last month and a half that being on this podcast has really gotten me to look a little more internally on going in and going to see a therapist and things like that as well. And I even took it a step further. My stepsons go to a therapy session every 2 weeks. And Jordan and I have had some problems arguing, and I've been short with him and he's been short with me. And we went in and had a joint session together. And since we've had that, and I got to hear him talk about the things that he was concerned about, it opened my eyes a little bit to try to be a better father. And we've had a lot better relationship in the last 2.5 weeks since we've done that. So, I've taken what my therapist has said to heart, and I've really tried to apply it, and things have been better outlook for me the last few weeks and so on. But you just got to take that step, you know, if I wouldn't have done this podcast, I probably would have never even thought to do that. Not because I didn't think I needed it, but because it didn't dawn on me that maybe I did need it. Does that make sense? Like, it wasn't like I was like, oh, I need it, but I'm not going, because it was the fact that I just didn't dawn on me that maybe I did need it.
Mm. Well, it's just such a taboo for us. Right. You know, and I don't want to say it like we have a plight. I mean, we're all three fucking middle-aged white dudes. Like, we don't have this, like, real... We don't have, like, these real world problems outside of our mental... So I don't want to say this as if we have this horrible plight, but men, in general, have been brought up to not be open about these things. And it's been to our detriment. As a species, it's been to our detriment, and we need to evolve in that way, in my opinion.
Yep. So that's what brings me to Sean, because Sean, I I don't remember exactly when it was, but I do remember you at one point when you were on the morning rush kind of dropped some nuggets that you were starting to see somebody. And I think it was after you had ended a relationship with a girlfriend there.
Mm-hmm.
It was right around 2020, I think.
It was all like in the same time.
Yeah.
Like and the time
and
frame.
And I just remember thinking to myself, and I
thought, oh, yeah, when I delivered you that pizza.
Yeah.
And you were like moving out the next day or some shit. Yeah.
And you can, I mean, you're open to do whatever you want to do here as far as conversation about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But I just profoundly remember thinking, wow, I was not prepared for somebody to tell us that.
Yes. So I was getting to a point in my life where I, a lot like my mind was just racing. I was having a lot of doubt in my life with my career choice. I was just having a lot of doubts, and that's not my personality. And that wasn't like, that's never been my mentality. And I started questioning a lot of stuff going on with me. And, you know, I've had panic attacks before and all that, but I wasn't even like thinking about that stuff. Like it was more just like, what? I don't feel like I'm being Sean. I don't feel like I'm being myself. And why am I doubting? I've never doubted myself in anything I've ever done. Why am I doubting myself? Why am I questioning my career path? Why am I questioning so many things in my life? And so I started to see a therapist, and then, you know, month later, shit hits the fan in all aspects of my life. And it couldn't have come at a better, like, I started, it was like preparing me for what was coming, right? Like it was, I was already seeing a therapist, and it was just like, okay, boom, now I have my outlet. And, you know, one of the things that for me going through all that stuff was I realized too, how at the time it wasn't being talked about very much. Like you had some athletes and stuff that would come out and say like, yeah, mental health, this and therapy, that. And, you know, personally, I never wanted to talk about that shit to be like, oh, everyone look at me. Look, I'm going to a therapist, right? Like, that's not what I'm doing it for. I talked about it because one, it was happening in my life. Two, I realized the importance of that. And man, Chris and Bill, like when I started talking about that stuff on the air, you know, guys reached out to me in DMs and tweets and all that stuff. Like it was amazing. And it was, man, I'm so happy and thankful that you talked about this, because now I feel confident enough to be able to go and help myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was kind of like the, okay, I can use my platform here for good. And it's not to like, never want to do something to be like the, oh, look at me, or that a boy, look at, you know, no, man, if I can touch one person by DMing me and saying, hey, I was never going to be able to go see a therapist until you started talking about it and something clicked in me that I'm going to go do it. Or not even necessarily seeing a therapist, but just understanding and realizing like, hey, you know what? I can be open about some of this stuff. And whether you're seeing a therapist, or you're talking to your significant other or whatever the case is, your buddies, like that was a huge thing for me, was starting to talk to my buddies about what I was going through. Mm-hmm. Because you're right, like Bill, like what you're talking about, like we're developed in a way, like, I mean, I was in fifth grade pitching and I would walk somebody and my dad comes out and calls me a pussy. Like that's what happened. Right. Like, and so that was my mindset. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me until I, be a bitch. Right. And I've always had kind of a, I don't want to say sensitive heart, but I've always been kind of, there's a part of me that's very soft, right? Like I'm very, mm-hmm. like, I'm emotional. I'm an emotional guy. It's why I tear up over Sam Hartman.
Oh yeah. Duke, me too. Me, you know, too.
Yeah.
But it's the stuff that I get touched, right? And I get emotional. I've always been like that my entire life. And I think I went through a span where I was trying to be like, oh no, I'm Sean on KXNO, and I can't be, I'm a jackass. And I can't,
oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I said, finally something happened where I was like, F this. I'll talk about this stuff. And
yeah,
and
don't lie to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Don't lie to yourself, man. And, but it's not like therapy has given me all the answers to everything in life, or of course anything not. Like that. No. Like, right. Yeah. If anything, it's a place for me to vent. And it's a place for, you know, where you can just talk about life, man. And you can be open and honest about everything.
It's a place where you can be honest. And we talked about this, Bill, before, about knowing that you're not going to be judged, and you can talk through some things and then try to figure out the answer yourself. You said something about you weren't yourself. This wasn't the Sean that you remember and things like that. And dude, I'm telling you, I had the exact same conversation with my therapist 3 weeks ago. I 6 years ago, battled cancer, wasn't going to let it beat me. I mean, I was obsessed with the fact that I was not going to lose. And I had always been, ever since I had met Stacy and kind of divorced my ex-wife and whatever, I had always had a mindset that I was going to do whatever I wanted to do. I was good at my job. I was a good father. I was all these things. And nothing would stop me. And I literally was sitting on the couch with my therapist in tears going, I don't know where that guy is anymore. I don't know where he's at. I lost a job in January that I've never been fired from a job before. And I was working with people that were 20, 22 years old that I was completely ostracized with, that they never included me. I felt out of place, old. I felt like the world had passed me by. And I remember just sitting there going, I don't know where that guy is that 6 years ago beat cancer. I don't know where he's at. He's gone.
Well, in some ways, you know, the same thing happened to both of you guys. It's that, we're not unique in that, you know. I mean, I had the same exact issues. I think all three of us can possibly relate to just imposter syndrome in general. Like, yes. You know, it's really hard. You know, when I started going through everything during the pandemic and my divorce and all that, and I was saying to myself then, like, I did not like the person I was seeing in the mirror at that time. I was like, 24-year-old me would be kicking the shit out of me right now. Would be so fucking mad at me for just being a bitch right now and what I've just reduced myself to. You know, there was, but like Sean was talking, you're talking about you were doubting yourself. Like, self-doubt is so normal. And it happens because life doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go or the way you planned it. And you get a good thing going and continuously, especially if you're in our businesses, you start to hear no a lot more than you hear yes. And it wears on you. And eventually you do start doubting yourself because your batting average isn't high enough, you know? And it's like, dude, this isn't baseball. It ain't 3 out of 10. It's 1 out of a million. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. You need 1 out of a million. You don't have to go 3 for 10 and bat 300 to be a success. You just need to do it once. But how many times can you get knocked down? And so I think we all eventually have to find a way, and therapy does a great job of doing that, is we have to find a way to rally, because you're just going to hit those patches. I mean, you didn't expect to break up with this girl. You know, you didn't get married to your first wife expecting to divorce her. I didn't get married to my last wife expecting to divorce her. I didn't, but these things happen. And a lot of times you have no control over them. So I think some of the self-doubt is just the realization that you're not in control all the time.
Yeah, you're not in control. And and sometimes it can be a harsh realization, right? Like, it can be like
very harsh.
And it can turn your life upside down.
Uh-huh.
A lot of things can change just like that. And
now you also have to deal, while this emotional stress is going on, you have to deal with cold, hard facts, logistics. Where am I going to live? All these other things change. What am I going to do with my bank account? Am I going to sell my house? All that stuff. You got to deal with all that shit. and deal with it in a timely manner in the right way, or you're going to completely fuck yourself over your emotional state.
Yeah. And life keeps happening, right? Like
all around you.
That's the thing. You still got to show up to work. You still gotta, you know, and for someone, you know, like me, whenever I'm going through something, right? Like I still have to turn that microphone on for 3 hours and not fucking show that shit.
Yeah. Well, at the very least, you can't bring the energy down.
No,
you can't just bring the show down, you know?
Well, no. And Drew kind of chimes in, kind of, it's scary shit to talk about, especially when your job depends on you being okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a real thing, man.
Comments here.
Jeremy, well, and I think
Jeremy wants to thank us for the conversation. And Nick says self-doubt is huge. I can tell you how many times I get stuck in my head every day or imposter syndrome comes in. That imposter syndrome is real.
Oh, it's such a bitch real. I think imposter syndrome is, I think imposter syndrome takes down more entertainers and athletes than any other thing. Because when you're really good at something like that, when you're really good at a sport, or you're really good at whatever entertainment avenue you're in, it kind of comes easy. That's kind of why you love it. It comes naturally to you. And yes, you do work hard, but at the same time, it doesn't ever feel like work. So it's just, I'm out here having fun and making money, and that's the real goal. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, did I just play a trick on everybody? Are they going to figure it out?
Oh my God, I've had the same conversation 100 times.
Like, I'll do... Like I remember last time Tom Segura did the Funny Bone. The last couple times he's been here, he did theaters. But the last time he did the Funny Bone, I opened for him. And we had worked together a couple of different times over the years. We've been friends. But by this time, he's doing well. Like, well enough that there were protesters outside.
That's how you know you made
That's
it.
That's how you know That's you're right. doing well. Yeah. And so that week I got paid, obviously, you know, what the club paid me. Well, Tom asked the club what they were paying me and then doubled it out of his pocket. And I get this money that night, and I'm thinking to myself, did I just pull the biggest fucking heist? Like, I literally went out here, I got fucking stoned, and I drank, and I fucked around, and I got all this money for it. This doesn't make any sense. It's... Everybody else will tell you it makes sense to them because they see it and they're like, because you're talented, you deserve it. But you don't, when you're in that body, you don't feel like you deserve it. I don't.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that happens a lot, man. It happens a lot, especially like with what I'm doing. I can't tell you how many times I have self-doubt and stuff, you know, and that's why it's like one of the battles that I have every day when I'm like, if I'm promoting something, right. Or whatever the case is, it's okay. Is anyone gonna like that? Is anyone gonna go to this thing? Do people like me? There is, you know, and so it almost sometimes, like, it's not every day, but there are days where it's a battle, right? Like, and it kind of goes back to, okay, well, am I being Sean or am I doubting myself here? Right. And it's always that battle to get me back to Sean. And that's where, you know, you find out things during therapy that you can, tools you can use, right, to navigate through all that stuff. Because, man, there are times if it gets to you in the morning, right, it's real hard to get, to get that back for the day.
That, right? Yeah. That shit lingers for a long time.
I like to call it, there's two different terms I use a lot. One is hangxiety, which is kind of like the anxiety you have when you're kind of hungover. that you'll kind of wake up with. And a lot of times I call that anxiety. And then there's like the Sunday scaries, which comes from when I was a kid, where every Sunday I knew I had school the next day, so I couldn't enjoy myself. Like,
yeah,
even though I didn't have school all day Sunday, all I could think about was that I had to go to school in the morning. So like, I'm out playing baseball with my friends. Like, well, this sucks. Fucking, as soon as this is over, I got to go to school in the morning, you know, or whatever. And so you're right. And I went through that a lot during and immediately after my divorce. I was waking up every morning almost in a full on anxiety attack, because mostly I had completely, I had wrapped up my whole identity in stand-up comedy and my wife. That, and then, you know, and then the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, and I, that was a mistake, you know, to put that much emphasis on, because I lost it all at once. You know, pandemic, you know, we're on lockdown. I can't work. I can't do any shows. I'm done. Completely done. And I'm not famous enough to do a fucking Zoom meeting and have people pay me to do it. You know, nobody gives a shit. So I'm done. I got to find something else to do. I'm delivering pizzas and shit. I'm doing whatever I can, you know. I get my wife files for divorce. Boom. The two biggest things that I had my self-confidence and my self-worth wrapped up in were gone at the same time instantly. And so what do you do at that point? Because I didn't know who I was anymore, and I didn't know who I used to be either. No. Like, you're trying to get a guy back that doesn't exist. That's part of the problem. That's where we fuck up, I think. I think that when we get to that age, when that shit really starts to hit the fan, when that stuff happens, like I was saying earlier, 24-year-old me would be beating the shit out of me. Well, I'm never going to be 24-year-old me ever again. And guess what? If I was still 24-year-old me, that would make me a piece of shit. Because I didn't evolve at all. I haven't changed a fucking bit since I was 24 right. years old.
Yep.
That's bad. That would be bad. So part of this self-doubt, part of all this stuff is our evolution. It's just our evolution, and it's us evolving. And if we can find a way to embrace it rather than go try to find this guy that we used to be, that we can never be anymore, because that guy didn't have the life experience that we have. Mm-hmm. You can't possibly be the same, or you haven't experienced anything.
Right. Sean, do you think with COVID?
Thank you, Jeremy. I'm really smart.
Yeah,
he is. Go ahead. No, just
don't build Bill up too much, man. I mean, we have so much space in here. He's already going to the Big Ten West Championship game. It's all I can fucking stand to listen to that.
I can take my hat off. My head's getting too big for it.
Well, Mazer wanted to know if that was Bill or Run KFC. That's what Mazer wanted.
Can't tell if that's Bill or Run KFC.
So, but my question, Sean, is COVID, I think, has done a number on a lot of people with the changes and how the world works anymore and things like that. Do you think that exasperated some of the things that you went through as well, because things were just different and changed?
Oh, man. I think, you know, for me, I was already starting that process right before COVID happened. And so when the pandemic happens, and you kind of have a lot of time to just think about my life and think about what I wanted to do, and couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go out to a bar. You couldn't go. It was me in my living room, right? And work. You know, somehow, some way, I was a essential employee, talking into a microphone. So I had a nice little badge just in case, you know. But I don't know if it was the pandemic, Chris. Because I was already like starting that process. I think it helped. I think it definitely helped, because I got to really, really hone in on finding myself, like not going back to, you know, 21-year-old Sean again, but finding that confidence in myself and understanding like, man, you know what? Shit happens in life. And, you know, I've always had the mindset of, you know, kind of like what you were talking about earlier, Bill, like you get knocked down. Like I've always had the mindset, knock me down as much as you can. I'm going to get back up as fast as I can. And even harder this time, right? Like I'm going to come at it even harder. And that's kind of just been my mindset with life. But I think one of the things that I learned during the pandemic, I think this is, if I were to go back and look back at that, like late spring, summer of 2020, was I really started to just realize to live in moments and, you know, not get Sunday scaries on a Sunday, mm-hmm. like take in that day, hone in on that day and live in that moment. Now I'd be lying to you if I say that happens to me every day. There's a lot of things that I get stressed out about, especially these days with what everything I got going on at the radio station. It's I'm always looking forward, you know, for tasks and stuff. So I find myself battling that mindset that I've had for a while now, where it's like, man, just live in the moment. And sometimes I get wrapped up in, you know, getting on Twitter or getting on, you know, and my wife will be the first one to tell you, like, get the fuck off your phone, mm-hmm. you know? But in my mind, it's okay. I don't want to miss something.
I'm going to miss something. It's going to pass me by right. if this is constant. Yeah.
Exhausting. Yeah. And in my line of business, and it is, you have to be on top of things. Right. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if I'm 5 minutes late to Cooper DeJean being hurt, right.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm late to that, then I feel like I'm not doing my job. Now, do Iowa Hawkeye fans give two shits if I'm giving my thoughts on Cooper DeJean? No, but I feel like it's my responsibility for what I do to be able to make a comment or to say something about that, right? So,
well, somebody that's in their car listening to your show, it's drive time, and that may be the first time they're hearing that news.
Right. And so, you know, for me, it's the constant of not FOMO in a sense, but kind of, right? Like,
yeah,
sure. I'm scared that I'm going to miss something that I should be.
People will be. No, it's more so miss, like people would be like, how did you not know this before I did?
Right. Right. You know? Like,
yeah. Which fuck them.
Right. So,
yeah, but it's hard. I get it.
It was easy for me in 2020 to not do that shit because nothing was happening. So for me, right. It was find myself in that day and find myself in that moment. And I still to this day do meditation. Meditation has been one of the best things that's ever happened to me. You know, I don't do it as much as I used to, but if I can do it a couple times a week, or if I've had a long day, I'll tell, okay, I meditate in the shower. That's where I do my meditation. I sit in the shower I turn the lights off and I just sit there and take it all in. I take in my day, I relax, I regroup. Like that's been a huge thing for me. I know it's not everyone, you know, everyone meditates or whatever if they want to in a different way. And that's just what's worked for me since I started it. But it's trying to always find myself to be, man, just live in the day, live in the moment. Tomorrow's a new day. You never know what the fuck's going to happen. You know, I could wake up tomorrow and lose my job. It happened to me in 2020, right? Like it was mm-hmm. a terrible experience. I went into that day going, man, life's fucking great. You know, it's awesome. And then an hour later, life changes.
Right.
So it's really just trying to embrace each and every single day and having a positive mindset and not letting a lot of negative things affect your life. And it makes it easier, you know, if you can somehow, some way find, and again, easier said than done, but if you can find the positives in each and every single day and live in those days and live in those moments, it makes it a lot better. It makes it a lot better. Cause you know, one of the, like, I still to this day, it doesn't happen all the time, but I have panic attacks, right? A lot of those panic attacks came from looking ahead and thinking about things that I have to do or haven't gotten done yet. And the future aspect of things and the unknown. And I, you know, going through therapy and starting that process, you know, three, four years ago of it was, stop worrying about what's happening 5 days from now. Yeah, it can be on a calendar, but fuck it. Like, don't think about it, mm-hmm. you know, because the more and this was just my thought process. The more I would think about it, all of a sudden I'm hyperventilating.
Anxiety, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going, what the fuck's wrong with me? So, I think my biggest advice is always just, you know, and it's easy to say, but be the best person you can be a good person, and man, try and live in that day and live in those moments, you know, and take it all in, because you never know what's going to happen 24 hours from then. And whether you're going to an Iowa game, whether you're going to an Iowa State game, take it all in. If you're with your family, if you're with your kids, with your buddies, take that shit all in, man. It's important.
And that's exactly what, I mean, you would have benefited from our conversation that, I don't remember who our, it might've been the last one that we did without a guest, but
yeah, it was,
I was basically, and some of this is age. I mean, Sean, you know, you're still in the infant stages of kind of, you're going through the next chapter of your life. You're kind of getting into that middle act. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just got married. You might be starting a family soon. I mean, I don't know what your guys' thought process is. Maybe you don't want kids. I don't fucking know. It's not my business. I'm just saying, like, you're starting to look into, you know, you're evolving, and it's easier for me to say this at my age, but I'm to the point now where I am no longer concerned with accomplishing a fucking thing, like, ever. Like, I don't care day to day. I have no list of things I need to accomplish today, and I don't give a fuck about checking any of them off. I literally am going to spend the rest of my life only doing what's fun. I am not going to bother with anything that stresses me out. Like, go ahead.
I found the clip from that episode.
Oh, okay.
But I am no longer concerned with accomplishing shit. I don't give a fuck if I accomplish nothing the rest of my life. All I want to do from now on is have fun. I'm going to have as much fun as I can. And if it's not fun, I'm not fucking doing it. Period. I'm fucking done people pleasing. I'm not going to do things that I don't want to do, that I'm not going to enjoy just because other people want me to. I'm not doing that shit anymore. I am 100% living the rest of my life having as much fun as I possibly can, and I don't see any reason to bother with anything else. Yes, I have to go make money somehow, but that still doesn't change the fact. Like, even if I was broke, I could still spend the rest of my life just doing what's fun.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's, I mean... And you know what? I took that to heart. That's what I was talking about at the beginning of the episode when I was talking about Saturday. I'll give you a perfect example. The very first game of this year, I mean, I had went and bought all the tailgate stuff. I was looking forward to it all the time. I built it up in my head. You know, Bill, we had talked about this. Expectations are the killer of dreams, right?
Yeah.
I had all these expectations.
Peace.
About,
it's the killer of peace.
Yeah, killer of peace. Yeah. And we were going to have all this fun, and all these people were going to come and whatever. And we got there, and the grill didn't work, and this didn't happen, and this didn't happen. And halfway through the tailgate, I was pissed off. Like, I wasn't having a good time. I was pissed. And finally, my wife had to come over here and go, honey, you've been looking forward to this all year. Just, it's okay. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I was like, fuck, this is great. Whatever happens, happens. It's, I love what we're doing. And if Sean didn't make it over, no big deal. I'll catch him next time. Or if this person didn't make it, or if the generator ran out of gas, well, then I guess we're eating cold food. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
It's easy to have that mindset, though. Like, it's easy for your mind to go to the negative right away, right? Especially, like you were saying, the expectation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if stuff starts snowballing, or the grill's not working or anything like that, like, it's easy to go, well, the fucking day's ruined. And in the grand scheme of things, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, but
you chose to let it ruin the day.
Right. And my friends were still there, and we still had drinks, and people were having a good time. I was the one that was obsessed. Nobody else was complaining that it didn't work. I was the one that was mad about it.
But it's easy. It's easy to have that mindset, man. And it's easy to forget really what's important. It happens to me all the fucking time. You know how many times Kaylee has to remind me, like, just chill. It's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, no one cares about this certain thing. And I'm over here getting worked up about absolutely nothing,
you
know,
man.
But it's so easy. And so to switch that mindset as fast as you did that day, that's progress, right? That's
yeah.
progress.
Yes. Yeah. You know? It would have probably, you know, 10 years ago, she wouldn't have been able to shake, you know, you wouldn't have shaken it off.
No, but by the end of the year, it was all I could, it was a perfect day.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what happened.
Yeah. Win or lose.
I was at a tailgate with people that I enjoy, and I was going to go watch a football game of a team that I love. And what's better than that?
Yeah. And I mean, I just came to that, you know, just within the last handful of years. I mean, you can see my evolution of the way I tweeted just from, yeah. from, you know, the last 10 years of Iowa football and basketball. You can see the difference between how I tweeted 10 years ago and how I tweet now. I made a conscious effort a few years ago to just blame the refs for everything. I just went ahead and decided everything would be the refs' fault no matter what. I don't care if it was fucking 31-0. Penn State beat us 31-0. All refs. All the fucking refs' fault. I don't give a shit. I am going to find a way to blame the refs. Because now it's fun. Like, now it's more fun for me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's not Brian's offense.
And why do I have to, like, the other conclusion I come to, and when we had Bohannon on, I think I said this to him, and it's the truth. Like, I would be bad mouthing certain players or whatever, or talking about we suck, or, you know, this fucking guy sucks, or that sucks, but it's like, you know, the amount of joy that these players have brought me over the course of a lifetime just by virtue of wearing the Tiger Hawk on their helmet, like, they deserve nothing but my support, in my opinion. So going forward, they're all perfect and I love them, and it's the ref's fault.
Remember this in 2 weeks in Indy.
Right. Which is why I won't allow you to be anywhere near the Three Blind Refs new podcast.
And I think that's a great idea.
It is a good idea.
That's for everybody involved.
I don't tell you when it's on. I've already told the producer to mute any comments that you may make. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, I know you guys have talked about having me on there. They were like, yeah, we look. But I honestly, though, like, I really hate refs that much. I just don't think that it would be a good idea. Like, those guys would just think I'm a prick. Because I wouldn't be nice to them.
They have a segment on there called Fool's Rules where they school you on a rule that you think you know that you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually pretty fun. So.
Invalid.
No, that's
invalid fair catch. That's right.
But that's right. That's a perfect example, though. Like, yeah, but then they're probably fucking smarmy about it. All right, you fucking stupid fans don't know anything in their fucking Homer Simpson voices. Like, they're just, ugh, I can't. See? This is why I can't talk. I can't even talk to you. You brought it up, and I'm losing my mind.
All right. Well, Sean, I'm gonna wrap up with this. I'll ask you this. You had a beautiful wedding. You have a beautiful wife. You have a life that you can just see, you know, you have the job that you've always wanted. Would you have any of those things if you wouldn't have turned that stuff around?
I wouldn't have my wife. You know, the job thing, who's to say? Because I was able to, I changed my mindset on a lot of things and,
you'd had a worse attitude.
Yeah. They had a shitty attitude, man. And
that's going to get you fired in a right to work state, especially.
Yeah. Well, like it would have got me fired, or it just would have drove me completely to not want to do it anymore.
Right.
And, changed my mindset, and it just, everything started, you know, everything started coming together and, manifested a lot of stuff and, you know, here I am 4 years later, I'm married to the love of my life and I'm happy, and that I have, you know, I got my little pug and got my dream job and, you know, life's good. And it comes with ups and downs, you know, and everything always will. It's not always perfect, but no, man, I have everything really that I could ask for. And a lot of that has to do with my mindset and knowing and understanding that, like, hey, I need a change. I need a change and coming to that realization and coming to, because that's the biggest thing, man, is realizing it, right? And taking that first step. And once you take that first step, sky's the limit. It really is. And it can change a lot of things, and staying with it and being positive and working through it.
Well, if nothing else, though, where you lack self-confidence, or where you lack, you know, when you talk about self-doubt, you can expel some of that or repel some of that, whatever word I'm looking for, by now knowing you have the tool, you've dealt with things.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have self-confidence in that, you know, you have the tools.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was 34, I was saying the same exact words you just said: dream job, love of my life, all the shit. And then it all comes crashing down fucking 3 years ago. But up until I developed tools to cope.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I'm now an evolved person. I'm better in a lot of ways. I'm really happy. I do know that. So, you know, when all that started happening, I didn't think I'd ever be happy again for the rest of my life. You know, so like the fact that I'm happier right now than I've ever been, that I can remember in my adult life, even when I was doing nothing but stand up, you know, that like the happiest I can think of being, you know, before now, was when I was just living in my friend's basement and all I did was stand up, and I wrote a blog for the Register and a couple other things. And I was just, but you know, shit happens. You got to start worrying about it. You got to worry about retirement, and you got to start thinking about different types of things like that. And, you know,
yeah. Well, let's end with this. Sean, Drew asks, what the station move on post AD? What do you think changes, improvements, status quo? What do you think is going to happen now that AD's not there?
Well, it's big shoes to fill.
Oh yeah, you have his job now, huh?
Well,
are you the program director now?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm about to say, there's no fucking way they gave you that.
No,
I'm just
kidding. No.
They just let him run the social media.
I help when I can help. But I think the station is in a good place. I think it's, you know, it's going to move forward. You know, AD did so much that no one, you know, a lot of this was said on his last day, but he did so much that not everyone got to see or hear. And I'm learning that, just, you know, from going through the everyday stuff. And it's a lot, man. It's a lot. And he did a phenomenal job. But the one thing I've learned, and whether it's whoever is coming through that radio station, whether it's myself, whether it's Heather, whether it's Murph and Andy, like, those call letters are so important to this city, and they are so important to the state and really radio and sports radio in general. And, you know, hopefully I have a long lasting career, you know, at KXNO, and I can tell you my personal thoughts that unless Chicago calls me one day, I ain't going anywhere. You know, like I love it here, and I plan to have my career here. But even when I'm long gone, like, KXNO will always be there. It'll always be there. Those call letters are bigger than anybody. The station will be okay. The station will move forward. We'll get through it.
Well, I think you guys are in the right spot. And I'll just say, I think I should win the KXNO jacket, 'cause I'm pretty sure Marty Terrell
pick winners tomorrow, man.
Marty Terrell still owes me money. So the station owes me.
You know, what's great about that is I was out at Authentic Brand, and they were showing me a bunch of, like, all these different things. And all of a sudden, just an idea came. I'm like, man, that bomber jacket over there is pretty damn cool. I was like, could we turn this into something? And so, you know, met with you know, AD at the time. And we started drawing up this idea of, man, what about a KXNO Hall of Fame jacket? And then, yeah, it happened. And
they're cool.
Pick winners tomorrow, man. So
they're pretty cool. All right.
I think you should
actually.
Though you cannot get one because here's the thing. We can't have you wearing it. First row, mayor of the North End
the
zone.
The mayor of the North Side. What kind? That's
well, I figure I'm not eligible.
Swearing up a storm on national television.
the shot in question when you posted it, that was literally right after the crowd had started, had caused a false start, and I was wearing my offense, defense, and North End zone shirt. And so I opened it up so that the camera could see it, and I moved my necklace so they could see it. And I said, North motherfucking end zone.
I
wasn't saying fuck you to the refs. I was saying North motherfucking end zone.
I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden they just pan, and it wasn't like a quick shot either. Like they were on you.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking Bill. I was like, Kaylee, that's Bill. I pause it, rewind it. I'm like, I got to get a photo of this. And then I put it on Twitter, sent it to you.
He went to 10 years ago, Sean. He's like, I know that guy. I know him.
Yeah. All of a sudden.
One of my favorite things on Saturdays is during an Iowa home game and hoping that the camera finds Bill. Because it's always some obscure like moment. Where it's not just him standing there, he's always yelling something.
Right. Yeah.
They catch him in peak Bill Blank, you know, moments.
Oh, yeah. There. Well, it's because of my face. Like I'm saying, the reason they show me all the time is for that reason right there. Like I was talking about how I look like I'm going to kill, but that's why. Who looks more passionate in that photo?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the image they want to capture, and it's not fake, and they know it's not fake. You know what I mean? I think it's more or less what it boils down to. I think I just have this very expressive, you know, I'm it's pretty obvious how I'm feeling.
All right, we're gonna get out of here. Check out all the Three Beards Media's podcasts where you can find your spots. We had an episode of Side of the Storm last night, an episode with Caitlin and I on Like Father Like Daughter. Three Blind Refs is 7 p.m. tomorrow night, and Hawk's Eye View I think is going at 6 tomorrow. No Ball Don't Lie. They're gonna take Thursday off. It's a holiday. Those guys are killing it, by the way, Sean.
Hey, those are my boys, man.
Yeah,
Teddy and Smoo, those are my boys, man.
They are
like, I don't know if you guys know this, but like, and if you're not listening to them, I don't know what to tell you. Smoo a couple years ago. Like went on a 19-0 run at one point. Like dude knows his stuff. Teddy is very, very intelligent as well. Like these two, if there's a gambling podcast out there that you should be listening to, it's hands down that one.
I enjoy just now I'm like, feel like I'm part of the group and I send them my little bets. I had a parlay going last night and Teddy's response was like, sorry, we need plus 2.5 for Philadelphia to hit the circuit.
Smoo loves his underdogs too.
Yep.
Loves I just like dogs. To do, I like just doing what I do every week is on Sunday, I pick all of the noon games and just parlay that. And I bet $5 mm-hmm. bucks and I never win.
Right.
I'll be off by a game or two most of the time. But if you ever hit it, it's going to be big money. And then I like to do one or two
one time.
Yeah, like single game parlays.
Yeah.
Which I'll win those kind of regularly because usually you get a boost and stuff. Like I usually use DraftKings. And so like I won the San Francisco game Sunday. I won $210 on a $5 bet on a single game parlay. But because I never pick the winners, usually I just pick stats and just try to, you know,
get Bill Blank on Ball Don't Lie. Tell them not to have Pistol on anymore, though. He's
he went 0-5.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I usually go, you know, I'll go the whole season. That's my pattern, like for the season, basically. So I'll be down $100 and then I'll win 200 and then I'll be down 50 and I'll win 65. You know,
just enough to keep you coming back.
Yeah,
this makes
the games more fun to watch, and it's better than fantasy because it's less work.
They had that graphic out today that there was still a shot that Iowa State could make the Big 12 championship. Did you see this graphic, Sean? That like
six different games
had to happen. I had a free $5 bet on DraftKings. I bet all of that. So if that actually happens, I'll win $32,000.
$32,000
on a free $5 bet.
That is fucking awesome.
So,
oh my God, you can pay me.
So if I win that, then I'll use that to go to the Big 12 championship game. So
yeah, there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. Sean, thank you very much. Check out all the other podcasts on Three Beards Media Network, and Bill and I will see you in 2 weeks.